The future may not be clear, but our commitment is. So when you sit with an advisor at Merrill Lynch, we'll put your interests first. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC.
Microsoft's latest challenge, mining more out of Minecraft.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York City. So if you're not obsessed with Minecraft yourself, I'm sure you know someone who is, as the video game is extremely popular and has been for years. And still so, considering the gaming crowd is notoriously fickle. However, with Minecraft, Microsoft is starting to discover that popularity doesn't always pay, and perhaps a new game plan is in order. Let's get a little bit more from Heard on the Streets' Dan Gallagher, patching in from our San Francisco studio. Hey, Dan.
How are you doing?
Good. So when Microsoft bought Minecraft in 2014, there was concern about whether its popularity would hold. It's always been crazy popular, but is it still, if we're looking at the numbers?
It is very popular. You know, since they bought it, they've actually Minecraft has added more than 22 million registered users. And even more importantly for a game like this, the usage keeps going up. In February, they reported that they had about 55 million people playing it, you know, at least once a month, monthly active users. And that was up from about 40 million that was reported just in June of last year. So in less than a year, they brought it up. That came up pretty substantially. So it's not a question of popularity of the game hasn't really waned.
Right. So it brings up an interesting issue because popular doesn't always pay. How is Minecraft a good example of this?
Even as that popularity has grown, the financial business hasn't. You know, Minecraft generates revenue by, you know, mostly by people actually paying to get into it and play it, download it on PCs or onto consoles. Mm-hmm. But they also, you know, there's things sold within the game that generate revenue. So the revenue of it Microsoft doesn't report the revenue, so we have to go with estimates. But, you know, one firm estimated that revenue went down, I think it was something like 18% last year, in-game revenue, the digital revenue. And NPD, which kind of tracks physical game sales, you know, the game discs that people buy at GameStop and mm-hmm. other places, that Minecraft, ironically, was ranked pretty high in that category when Microsoft bought them in 2014, and they didn't even rank in 2016 in NPD's top 10 games for the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so that was another indication that, you know, the popularity's there, but, you know, people seem to be paying less into it.
So how is it shifting its game plan to generate revenue from a popular game that's just not paying off as they would like?
Well, what they're doing, one of the things they're doing is they've opened up the Minecraft store. This is the store within this virtual world, mm-hmm. To outside developers. You know, typically it's been Microsoft or the company that Microsoft bought, which is called Mojang, that creates content that's sold within this. And they're going to let kind of a select number of outside developers actually sell things like new worlds and other things that they come up with. There's actually quite a large ecosystem. I met somebody last week who works at a London-based company that's got about 60 employees, and all they do is build stuff for mm-hmm. the Minecraft world. But they haven't had as effective a way to, you know, sell that within the kind of virtual world that Microsoft controls. So they're allowing that to, and they'll share in revenues along that. One of the challenges of Minecraft is that it's popular with a pretty young crowd. You know, I would say, you know, a lot of its core base of players are still in kind of, you know, your elementary and middle school years. Mm-hmm. These are people that they don't have their own jobs, obviously. They don't have a lot of their own income. They have to convince their parents that they can to let them buy stuff. So that's, you know, when you target that market, it's a good market because people, the kids are playing it a lot, but they don't exactly have their own money to just go in and buy stuff.
That's a good point. We're speaking to Heard on the Streets' Dan Gallagher about Microsoft and Minecraft. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Looking for an easy way to advance your career or improve your business? Download an audiobook. At Penguin Random House Audio, we publish best-selling business books, often read by the author. Receive expert advice as you go about your daily routine. Listen to an audiobook as you commute, travel for business, or work out. Visit tryaudiobooks.com/WSJ for a free full download and listening suggestions.
Thanks for joining us. Microsoft's putting a lot into this Minecraft marketplace. Do you think that in and of itself is a stable enough platform for generating that boost in revenue?
Well, I think, you know, there's reason for to believe that Microsoft knows really well how to run an online game business. You know, their Xbox Live was one of the first online game services that was attached to consoles, and that has continued to grow.
Right.
Microsoft runs that really well. It's very profitable for them. That's a business that's well beyond Minecraft. You know, they know the service side of games really well. When they bought Minecraft for about $2.5 billion in 2014, it was a pretty big deal for them because it was a big price to pay for a game that many people thought had peaked. Wasn't, you know, the money itself, you know, didn't really hurt Microsoft. They had it was about 3% of what they had sitting offshore in cash, so it wasn't a huge risk for them. But
it
is something that they want to make continue to pay off.
We'll leave it right there. Dan Gallagher, thanks as always.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks again to The Wall Street Journal's Dan Gallagher. That will wrap up this edition of The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing for now. I'm Tanya Bustos in the newsroom at The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.